Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky, and I left off last week's parsha. I, not to say neglected, but I purposely did not speak about one very important part of the parsha last week, because it entails what we have this week as well. And it says in last week's parsha, we get close to the end, and it says that Eldad u'Medad misnacham misnabim b'machaneh. And Yoshua saw, came running to Moshe and said, Adoni Moshe Kolaim. And Moshe, of course, in his anivus, as we know, he said, if all the people were Nevi'im, it would be wonderful. My job would make my job so much easier. And this is the truth of the matter is, Moshe's attitude is the one that makes him who he is, makes him the greatest of all the greats, Vo'ish Moshe Onov Miod. And that comes into play in this week's parsha very greatly on some levels. And we'll see what I'm talking about right away. What was Yehoshua complaining about? That Eldad u'Medad misnabim, they were giving this nevuah, and what were they saying, which is very pertinent to this week's parsha. We have this problem that the Gemara discusses, and even in the Chumash, Mefarshim bring it down, and when it says that Kalev spoke up this week against the Meraglim, we have the Meraglim who said Lashon Hara against the people. As I entitled the parsha this week, I am a Mavis Beyada Lashon, because sometimes, or not sometimes, but most all the time, it's very important to choose your words carefully, not only to choose your words carefully, but also choose your tone very carefully, because it makes people be on the defensive, and that is when they begin to say things that you can't take back. And we see that the difference between Yoshua and Kalev. In Yoshua, they criticize him on some level because it was Kalev who spoke up, and Kalev, it says, Vayas Kalev, and he yelled at the Meraglim. He got very upset, and he yelled at the Meraglim that Alo Nalev, Yarashnu Osok, Yacholnu Chalo, that we could make it, we will have, you don't have, we have no problem, we are going to take the land. Yoshua is criticized on some level because Yoshua didn't speak up, and we wonder why. In fact, that's what some of the Mefarshim say when it says at the end of the Sefer Bamidbar, Zulasi Kalev ben Yefuneh hu Yirena, that my standard bearer, the only one who spoke up is Kalev ben Yefuneh, and he is the one that's going to take us into Eretz Yisrael, hu Yirena, he will see the land of Israel, but it doesn't mention Yoshua. And some of the commentaries at that point ask the question, how come Yoshua is left out of that pasuk? He's not mentioned. We know that Yoshua, v'kolei min ha-torim mo'es ha-aretz, they were the ones that koru b'gdeihem, and they were the ones who stood up for them. But Yoshua didn't say anything. And what has been said, what has been suggested, and it's an unbelievable thought process, is that Yoshua understood one thing. The nevuah that Eldad u'Medad gave was Moshe meis, Yoshua machnis, that Moshe will die and Yoshua will be the one to bring us into the land. Unfortunately, Yoshua was upset with that because he felt he wasn't ready yet. This was early on in his career, certainly. But the reality is something else. He understood one very important fact over here. If he would speak up and complain as Kalev did, and that he would say, Alo Nalev, Yorashnu Osak, Yacholnu Chala, at this juncture, people will say, you know what? I know why you want us to go into the land. I know why you think we could go into the land, because it means now that you will be in charge. You will be our leader, because as Eldad u'Medad were misnabim, as they gave the nevuah, that when Moshe dies, you will be the leader, that Yoshua is going to take us into the promised land and not Moshe. And therefore, you know, the king is dead, long live the king. And that's an unbelievable thought process. And Yoshua understood that they felt that he had an agenda and that he would not, so his word would not be taken as any proof. The fact remains also, there's another very great problem over here. If we take a look at the sequence of events, it's very interesting. And the sequence of events is, when it says, Vayas Kolev, at this point in time, the Meraglim actually did not say that we can't go into the land. The only thing that they did up to this point in time is say the truth and nothing could be disputed. In fact, Kalev doesn't dispute them at all. Vayas Kalev Vayomer Alol Nalev Yorashnu Osok Yachonu Chalo. We will be able to do it. He doesn't say anything that they said are lies, but he changes his tone and he gets very angry. The problem with getting angry and screaming at them at this point is it's the English expression is now they double down. And after he starts to lose his temper, Kalev, now the lies begin and they start to say that Vanahi Bienenu Kacha Govim, and the Gemara points out that was the major lie. And they don't see the rationale. In other words, they don't appreciate what it was. We see in the Haftorah from this week's Parsha, Yoshua sent two spies there, and they had to hide for their lives. They were being hunted down because there were no diversions for them. The people were waiting for them to come into the land, and they had to hide. Now you would think it's so long before they're actually going to go into the land that 12 people came in and nobody noticed them. What was the reason nobody noticed 12 spies marching around? It says they saw, what was their complaint? That all they saw was funerals. They saw funerals. They were so busy with their funerals, they didn't notice it. But they said, the Eretz Ocheles Yoshveho Hi, there are people dropping like flies. Everywhere we go, we see a funeral. And God did it. It's like Hashem Chashav, like Yosef tells his brothers not to worry because Hashem Chashavo L'tova L'man Aso Kayom Azel Achayosam Rav, that God is doing things. God has an agenda as well. And you don't understand what God is doing. God created these diversions so nobody should suspect, nobody could pay attention to you, Meraglim, that they would do the same way as Yoshua's Meraglim had to hide constantly and be very surreptitious about their spying. Here, the 12 had no problem. 40 days they roamed the country from the length and the breadth of the country, and they had no problems. Why would that be? Because God created diversions. But when you don't see what God is doing, sometimes we have to look around and understand that we don't understand the actions that God takes on our behalf. We have the wrong lesson. And that's why we say so many times, Re'eba Tov Yerushalayim. We see things and we look at it the wrong way. And this is the problem that we have. Moshe was an honor. Why didn't Moshe initially yell at the Meraglim? In fact, the reality is that I mentioned in previous years that Reb Nissen Alpert mentions in his Sefer, and he says the one thing that they should have been right away, any soldier in the army today would right away be court-martialed for not going to be debriefed by his superior officer before he speaks to the people, the common soldiers. He doesn't speak to the people. That's a court-martial offense. You go and you talk to the general or the colonel who sent you out there. You're debriefed, and then he gives you what his take on it, you discuss it, and then we decide what we're going to tell the populace. And they went ahead and right away spoke to Moshe and all the people simultaneously, which causes the downfall. Their choice of words gave the whole populace the sad feeling of doing it. But the fact remains, Yoshua kept silent, but in addition to that, he realized that this was not the time. And when we see later, when God says, even after he says, Zulasi Kalev ben Yefuneh hu Yirena, who does he choose to be the next leader? Yoshua ben Nun homeid lefonecho hu yavo shama oso chazeki hu yamchileno et Israel. Because Yoshua, like Moshe, was an honor. And therefore, who can be the next leader of Klal Yisrael? It will have to be somebody who's even tempered and doesn't fly off the handle. Kalev, to his credit, of course, was willing to scream and yell at the Meraglim, but in doing so, he also lost his ability to be their leader because of his antagonism to all these people. He probably would have to be more understanding. But let's take it back to the beginning of where Moshe made his mistake. Moshe took a calculated risk at this point in time when it says, Vayishlach Osam Moshe Lo Suretz Oretz Kanaan. God said, send them out just to be a tour guide, just to be with them. Now, what was Moshe's rationale? What was his rationale for sending out all the leaders? He understood. He gave Yoshua the blessing, Hashem, Yoshiacha, may Atzas Meraglim, may God save you from the Eitzah that might come out from the Meraglim. But the reality was, who did he send? It says, Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema. Moshe thought perhaps that if he sent out the common people who were maybe greater soldiers, it would be a smarter idea. But if he sent just the ordinary citizen, the lower class of people who were just common believers or whatever it is, however one would want to describe them, they would not be believed, or the people who are Roshei B'nei Yisrael would rise above what the other people will see. If they will see these giants and things, they will read the messages incorrectly and come back with the actual stories that the Meraglim did come back with. He sent Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema because these were greater people, and he figured that they wouldn't fall prey to the evil events, the evil messages that they brought back, the evil reports that they brought back and said, we can't do it. And that's where Moshe's plan backfired, so to speak. And so therefore, why did the people believe them? Because these were, after all, Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema. If these are the leaders of the tribes who everybody trusted, who everybody, they wasn't fake news. These were the people who they ran to with all the problems, who had been giving them good advice. That's why they were the leaders. If they said that we can't make it, then must be true. Then this must be the facts, because these are Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema. And reality is, had Moshe sent back, perhaps, speculation of course, had Moshe sent back ordinary people who were just better soldiers and more apt to deal with the situation as being spies per se, and not just leaders, if they had come back and said these things, their report might have been discounted as those of common folk. And what did they know? They can't really assess the situation properly. And so Moshe, on one hand, thought that if he would send the leaders, they would not fall prey to what happened to them. But yet, it was the other way around. Had he sent maybe the more ordinary people, it would have turned out better. But my choice is, obviously, Chaim Amavis Biyado Loshon. The reality is the choice of words, and when Kalev raises his voice and starts to complain to the people that they ought to be ashamed of themselves, that is when, as I said, the lies begin, and their choice of words is can't. But one thing that you notice that Kalev does not say when he says, Olo Nalev Yarashnu Osok Yachol Nuchalla, what is he actually saying? He's not disputing anything that they say. And in fact, not only that, but he's not even invoking the name of God. He's not even saying that we will make it. Of course we will make it with the help of God. God is here to teach you. Didn't you understand? Didn't you see the signs that God gave all of these misdirection, put all these things in the way so that they didn't have time to look for spies? They were so busy with all these funerals. Don't you understand? Kalev wasn't rational about it at that point in time. And that's why the Torah tells us, Vayas Kalev, and ends last week's parsha with that Voish Moshe Onov Miod. He was such an Onov. And Yoshua followed with Moshe's footsteps. He also decided not to scream at the Meraglim rather than have a normal conversation with them and make them see the error of their ways before they start to, as we said, double down on their lies, which is, these are all very interesting facts of the life. But we see all these people, the Meraglim, what was their problem with going into the land at this point in time? What caused it? And we spoke last week about Vayhi Om Kamasoninim, and we said that they grew tired. What was the reason for the headcount we mentioned last week? That they were getting ready, they were going into the land, they were going ready for war. And when Kalev says, Ki Yachol Nuchalla, that we can make it. But the reality is, there's something else in fact, that what is the difference between emunah and faith? And we have we talk about faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and emunah and true belief in whatever happens, whatever God does is for the good of us. But when we go to war and we win the war, most of the time we see in the history of the world, even though we win a war, we could win decisive battles, but there are casualties. B'nai Israel were thinking, I believe that God will let us win the war, but we are straggling here for over a year in the Midbar, and we're tired. And even though we're getting ready to go to war now, and I believe that we will be able to win the war, but am I going to be a casualty of those battles? Will I survive the war? In other words, I want to see the promised land. And if the only way I could see the promised land is going into battle, well, I trust in God that we are going to win the war. But will I be one of those casualties that are inevitable, usually in war? They didn't understand, especially after the first, they saw in the first battle that there were zero casualties when Yeshua took them in. But, of course, for the sins in the second battle, there were already 36 casualties, according to what we learn in Yeshua. So, therefore, am I ready to be a casualty? That is always the problem. And they grew tired of all these things. And one of the other things is the reason that Moshe, it says, Shlach lecha anoshim letovas chola hanoscha, you're only doing it for your benefit. I already told you that I'm giving you the land, so don't you trust me? Don't you believe me? You want to send spies? Well, you don't have to. But if you want to do it, gesinta hate, you want to do it, fine. But only to tour the land. But the reality is, what happens is, everything is, if you're doing it for the wrong reason, then is God going to help you? The problem is, am I going to be one of those survivors? And the reality of the life experience from all these people, are they going to be, they surmised that at that time, that Hashem had great plans. So, you know, Yeshua realized God has great plans for him. Moshe Rabbeinu also, he is saying, I think that perhaps after last week, when it says, Vayiyam Kamisonanim, and they're complaining over so many things, that maybe he'll throw them a bone. And when God gives him permission to Shlach Lecha, he thinks possibly because the squeaky wheel gets the grease, that maybe after all this complaining, you know what? They're asking for people to send along, and instead of clamping down and saying, we don't have to go, he says, okay, so I'll send along those 12 people, and I'll send them along. And unfortunately, again, these are the things that backfire. But we have to have that ability to read the signs. And that is, now, one of the other major things that we have at the end of the parasha is the Mekoshe Sheitzin. I think if you had to ask yourself, if you go through the whole Chumash, the five Sfarim, and I said to you, what is the most obvious extra words that God wrote in the Torah? The beginning of the story of the Mekoshe Sheitzin is Vayu Vayihiyu B'nai Yisrael Bamidbar. It says that the B'nai Yisrael were in the Midbar. Really? Don't we know that? They left Mitzrayim, and they've now been in the Midbar for 15 months. How many times did it say that Vayu B'nai Yisrael Bamidbar? We know they didn't leave the Midbar, when in fact we know they'll be there for another, after this week's parsha, they're destined to be there, Yom LaShana, Yom LaShana, and they're going to be there for a full 40 years in the Midbar wandering. So what is the purpose of telling them that they are going to be in the Midbar? And this is Vayim Tzu Ish Mekoshesh Eitzim. What is the point of saying that they're in the Midbar? Because what the problem is, what does the Gemara explain? What is the Avera that the Mekoshesh did? There's different versions of what we accused him of doing. Was he carrying? Was he gathering? The problem is, he was being Mechal Shabbos, that we know. But he was being Mechal Shabbos by you, B'nai Yisrael, Bamidbar. He was doing it Bifar Hesya. He wasn't doing it privately. Does it make a difference if somebody is being Mechal Shabbos privately or publicly? The Misa is Skila. We know that, seemingly so. But one might ask, is that the same way you're being Mechal Shabbos, that you're being kofir b'maisa b'reishis, you're denying that God is the creator, and that's why he rested on the seventh day. We have to give him his due for what it says. So maybe, perhaps, since even b'fahesya, it is the misa is skila, then perhaps there's something else b'fahesya, and that there, we know many times there is a different punishment for b'tzina. You do something privately or you do something publicly, it's a difference. So it starts off the story with saying, Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar. It was out in the open for all to see. It was, everybody saw, Vayimtzu ish mikoshesh etzim b'yom ha-shabos. And that's why Moshe had to discuss it with God. Of course, he knew the halacha, but perhaps this was a special unit, because not only was he mechalel Shabbos, but he did it b'fahesya. And we know that there are things that are done b'fahesya. On some levels, there's a different punishment from b'fahesya or b'tzina. And of course, we know after the Maisa Meraglim, it says, I mentioned, started to say, Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. What does that really mean? It should say, Shana Layom, Shana Layom, a year for every day that you're away for 40 days, a year for every day. What is the terminology of Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana? What does that really mean? And what the Abar Ben El makes a very interesting point over here and says, Yom Lashana, he's just, God is speaking in a double lashon to emphasize it, but he's saying, every year I give you one day a year to forgive you for all your sins. And now, Tisu avonoseichem arbo'im shana, you will carry your sins for 40 years. In other words, I am taking away the gift of Yom Kippur. I give you one day a year to forgive you for all your sins. You pray and you do tefillah, tshuva, tzedakah, and you are forgiven for your sins. If you repent truthfully and God forgives you and you start every year with a clean slate. But imagine if you didn't have that day every year and the sins accumulated over a course of 40-year period, how many years could you withstand? So there were people who died the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, and so on and so forth, etc., until the years were up, because there's a limit to how many sins your soul can bear before it has to be taken from you. And that is the lesson of the parasha. So as I said, Chaim v'mavis b'yalo oshon, before we speak, as the Meraglim did, before Kalev speaks, Yoshua actually was zocha to be the next leader because he chose his words carefully. He said nothing at the time. He understood to let Moshe, who was greater than him, explain. Moshe would have had the ability to say something, perhaps to straighten them out, before they brought them all to Vayivku Ha'am Balailahu, because these Meraglim were going to die at any rate. But until Vayivku Ha'am Balailahu, when they all cried, because they all believed what the Meraglim said, and that is only after Vayaz Kolev. So the lesson is, sometimes, even though Kolev was right, there were catastrophic events that were the outgrowth of Kolev losing his temper in addition to all the other problems. And therefore, Vayivku Ha'am Balailahu, that anger made the other Meraglim speak, go on, and say things that were patently false. And therefore, we had to be 40 years in the Midbar. And of course, we know that day was Tisha B'Av, and that we never stopped paying, and all that would have taken was to have chosen our words more carefully. Chaim v'mavis, the life of going into Eretz Yisrael in a couple of weeks from this juncture, or wandering and dying 40 years in the Midbar, or all for the sake of speaking out of turn and making everybody else and saying it believably so that everybody believed them with some true reports, but in addition to many of the false reports that they gave. May we guard our tongues in the future and be very careful over what we say on a daily basis and use the right tone as well, not to stir up to make somebody anger and scream back. And that is what we learn from Moshe, from Yeshua, and Kalev. And that is why the whole thing begins at the end of the parasha, Voish Moshe Onov Mio. We are told in the Sefer Hasidim, we are told many times in Pirkei Avos as well, that when somebody says nasty things to you, you're better off walking away and not answering him, because it only antagonizes him and makes him say things that are worse, that usually can never be taken back. Have a good week, and may we all choose our words carefully. Have a good evening.